Have a care who you choose as friends, Madeline. They are the ones who will come for you in times of need. Cadmus Errol.
This is bad. They should have been back by now.
Cap it, Hayfield. You've been saying that for half an hour,
snapped a grease-slicked scamp. He leaned against a column of pipes crusted over with grime. There was a click and a snock sounded against the stone wall. A ball bearing bounced to the iron-plated floor and rolled around, seeking the lowest point on the warped surface. Before it could fall through the drainage grate, a delicate hand scooped it up.
Not good, Pick,
Hayfield muttered. The gaunt giant of a man crouched with his back pressed against the door, his weight acting in place of a bolt. He dug a maimed, three-fingered hand into his pocket and drew out a pocket clock, which he flipped open, glanced at, and shook his head.
It ain't 5 minutes from Porter's Crossing to here.
The scrawny girl looked up from her work but said nothing. Cradled in her lap, she held a curious rifle. It was wrapped all down the barrel in copper wire and had a pipe collar clamped to the far end as a sight. A metallic cylinder hung just in front of the trigger guard, carved with strange symbols, and had wires running from it. The girl twisted a knob at the bottom of the cylinder, and the symbols glowed a pale blue, barely visible in the light of the exposed bulb overhead. She dropped the ball bearing into a hole at the back of the barrel and took aim at the far wall. From her seat on the floor of the cramped maintenance closet, a woman in her middle years spoke up.
Buckets and No Boots got Rascal with them. He'll get him through.
She reached over and patted Hayfield on his good arm.
Rascal's great at taking care of Rascal. The Thunder Rail comes, Rascal's getting off the track,
Pick said. He leaned his head back against the pipes and let out a long breath through clenched teeth.
Shut your leaking valve, Pick,
said the waif, not looking away from her aim. There was a click, and the ball bearing struck the wall, clang, leaving a dent.
Shut yours, chipmunk, and quit with that toy of yours while you're at it,
Pick shot back.
Least I'm doing something besides worrying my hair, Gray,
chipmunk replied. She scooped up her ball bearing and stared Pick down as she reloaded her strange gun.
I haven't got a single shh,
the older woman hissed.
You hear something, Tabby?
Hayfield asked.
Shh,
Tabby repeated. They all stopped breathing a moment.
Yeah, someone's coming.
Pick took up a bolt-action rifle that lay at his feet and checked the chamber. Hayfield pulled his revolver out from the inside of his coat. He closed his eyes and his lips moved in silent prayer. Tabby reached into her blouse for a one-shot. It wasn't much, but she wasn't one for gunfights. Chipmunk turned the dial at the bottom of her coil-wound rifle. It clicked at each increment, and with each click the symbols glowed brighter. When it could turn no farther, the runes were brighter than the spark bulb overhead. She wrapped her wool scarf around the gun so the brightness would not distract her from her aim. They crouched and waited, the only sounds the tiny hum of the spark bulb and the approaching footsteps. Hayfield kept his maimed hand on the door latch. The closer the footsteps came, the clearer it became there was a single pair of boots. The echoes in the access duct muddied sound. The steps were too light to be Daru. But whether they were human or Kuduk was guesswork at best. Three sets would have been a comfort since three companions were missing. There was no good news to be had from one. The footsteps stopped right outside the door. Three heavy, thumping knocks echoed in the confines of the maintenance room.